Hey now, say now, this is your girl O'Brien, aka OB, aka O, coming to you with episode 2 of the Tea and Cognac Session, season 5 officially launched, and feeling good, want to tap back into being the creative, talkative, whatever radio this, you know, like back into this thing, right? So today's conversation, I know y'all sick of the word of self-care, but what we've been focusing on previous to mental health was more so your physical, you know, you worked out, you dieted, mostly is what I remember, self-care conversations. It was more so about the physical aspect of your health. I looked up the definition a while back and wanted to just see what a dictionary says about such wording, and the practice of taking action to preserve or improve one's own health. So it's not explicit or exclusive to physical health, where we collectively are needing help with the conversation. It's our mental health. As an American Black mother, single parent, my mental varies depending on the time of day. And I've had to be very intentional on what I need to do. What do I need to set in place for my own well-being and mental space? Because what we do know is we all suffer from some kind of trauma and triggers that wasn't addressed in our adolescence. And now we've grown into these adults that are still operating in some of those childlike spaces mentally. So meaning we've grown up physically, but mentally we're still stuck, trapped somewhere wherever the profound trauma happened. Whether that was a small child, or you were in your younger 20s, early teenager years, wherever it happened for you in your youth, that traumatic, life-changing experience, and you didn't get adequate help as far as talking through that, effectively communicating, and getting healthy advice, you're still probably living a cycle of trauma and triggers. And because, again, we didn't grow up having these conversations, our parents and their parents didn't have access to this information. Reading books, I remember hearing the adults in my life as a child, reading a book was the last thing they had time for. So the attitude was, ain't nothing in no book. I got this. I can do this myself type of attitude. Well, I know better, and definitely going to teach my son that, yes, it's in a book. It's an old African proverb. If you want to hide it from the Negroes, put it in a book. It's worked wonders. Y'all don't want to get into that though, so we'll stay on the topic. So self-care is knowing yourself, knowing thyself, operating with intentional energy, behavior, not putting yourself in situations where you know you'll be uncomfortable, not hanging out with people that you know don't mean you well. Like, you are very intentional of who you spend your time with, what you spend your time on, and who you give yourself to. This is all part of the self-care conversation. Also, what you spend your time thinking about is mostly the most of it. It's, where are you putting that energy? Is it worry? Is it fear? Is it faith? Well, what we do understand about fear and faith is they cannot, will not dwell in the same space. So what are we doing to make sure we keep our mind in a mental, healthy mental space, even when navigating some of our life drama and chaos that happens every day? What do we spend our time thinking about? Are you doing self-checks? How are you feeling? Those types of things. Literally stopping to really assess what's wrong with me is very new to me. I, like many, will go. You know, you are a parent, you are self-employed, you have a full-time job, and at one point I had returned to school, so I had all these different hats I had to wear, hence the Jill of Most Trades little title there. I was doing so much at one point, trying to live this American dream, that I neglected myself in more than a few different ways. Like here recently, I had to get a couple of teeth pulled. I literally just neglected basic needs. I had some fillings that needed bridges. I knew this a few years ago. But since the pandemic, I've been wrapped up in my immediate family's dynamic and what goes on and how to separate and just navigating that dysfunctional situation. I've totally neglected myself, mind, body, and spirit. I've gained weight. I'm not exercising. I'm not active at all. I look back over the last 3 or 4 months, not moving, not exercising, not having fun, just been in just really a depressed, what they've named the sunken place, have been there. But when I went back listening to some old podcasts, I already knew there were certain things I have to do. There's a discipline that's required with self-care. You have to have certain things in place to maintain your health, mentally and physically. So I broke it down to 5. We called them hobbies, but the 5 things that have to take place every day to maintain myself. I have to, first off, it's always the money piece, right? The financial security. Well, how are you making your money? How are you staying in shape? How are you being creative? How are you acquiring knowledge? And are you praying and meditating every day? You start your day looking at your phone, or do you start your day with a grateful heart, praying, meditating, and focusing on what you do have, what you will have, not what you don't have? Hard. I come from not so optimistic family members, you know, very much can lean on a negative comment or energy in an instant. Doesn't take much to go negative. So for this whole attitude adjustment that's had to be made of not expecting the worst possible situation every time, I'm literally always waiting for the other shoe to drop. So no surprise that a shoe always is dropping, right? Because I have fixed my mind. I want to say it's some kind of defense mechanism with me, where I'm trying to mentally prepare myself for whatever the chaos, nonsense, shenanigans, tomfoolery, whatever we're calling it. I'm trying to mentally prepare for it. Where really, I just want to speak on and focus on joy, happy, peace. So it's a whole, what we named it, attitude adjustment. And once I start really being disciplined to the 5 things I know have to go on in my day-to-day, I notice tremendous, tremendous difference. The frequency we operate on, whether that's a high or low, we control it. And what we're putting into our cups to stay at a high frequency, that's making all the difference. So for me, I got really heavy into drinking and a couple other activities. And it did consume me. Not to the point where I'm neglecting my responsibilities, but I am definitely what they've titled a functioning addict. So, you know, where I wake up and most days needed a drink or felt like I needed a drink. Or by noon, definitely done had a couple of drinks. It's because what I'm putting into my cup isn't healthy. The people I was, giving my time and energy to were not reciprocating it. So I found myself burned out and really questioning every corner of my world, right? So I had to really dig into, what do I like? What am I interested in? what brings a smile to my face? What am I good at? Like, these are all the questions I had to really comb through over the last 3 or 4 years of just reconnecting with the little girl, O'Brien, because I got so disconnected in this whole trying to make money, trying to survive. I am an expert at surviving, but actually living, whole foreign concept that I don't know. I don't know what it is to just to be content, to wake up with joy every day and not be frustrated or overwhelmed or overstimulated. This is new turf, right? But I very much desire this new turf because I'm definitely tired of being the glue. I'm tired of always spreading myself thin and neglecting myself. And then when it's time for me to be down or need help, it's very few people that come looking for me, right? So when you pay attention to all the things you take care of, people, things, whatever, and then when you need it and you can only look for one or two maybe, that's some real, let me make some adjustments. I can't be everything to everybody. Someone's going to be disappointed. Someone's going to be mad. That's no longer my concern. If it's not in my realm, if I'm already overextended, if I'm already done for the day kind of thing, I can't do it to myself anymore. The overwhelming, neglecting myself, saying yes when I should have said no. These are all part of the self-care conversation. And people are going to be mad at you because now all of a sudden you have boundaries. What was able to be just amok in the past, we're done with that part. We done went and started getting help. We going to therapists. For me, I done downloaded Libby. It's this audiobook. It's the free service, though. You put your library card in there and you have access to thousands of books. But I'm really tuning into the audio because with all my attention deficits and things, I'm realizing I can get through a book pretty quickly if it's read to me. Me actually sitting and reading it, though, right now with all the things and distractions and just all the things, I do better with the audiobooks. Amazing. A book I've had, my cousin, shout out to Ashley, sent me a book last year. I'm just now able to get to it, and I'm literally, I think, 2 chapters away of being completed, but it's Drama-Free, A Guide to Managing Unhealthy Family Relationships by Nidra Glover Tawab. So finally completing these books, these self-help books, these information on dysfunctional families, self-care, these just hard conversations that are becoming more common now, but was taboo in the past. Just tapping into that in that way has helped my mental health tremendously. I've read more books this year since January than I've read in years because just the whole reading to me, I'm receiving it and digesting it so much better than just trying to sit there and read it when I know I got my son who's supposed to be online doing whatever class, but I can't focus, right? So it's finding what benefits you, what works for you. It's not a cookie cutter thing. Some of this stuff is going to look different for everybody, but everything is going to change with how you think. That's going to help you operate at a higher level just with the state of mind. So getting into these books, like I said, Drama Free was great or is great. Almost done with that. Read The Secret by Rhonda Byrne some years back, but I didn't have the emotional intelligence at the time to really listen and receive what that book has. Got through that sucker. I am feeling accomplished in ways, but this just this intentional work on my self-care and pouring back into me and doing things that I want to do is detrimental because at almost 40 years old and not knowing where I should be and what I really want is really alarming to me because I felt like I should have had this piece figured out already. maybe, maybe not, but definitely like feeling behind like a curb or something. So just really on it. Like really want answers to why certain things keep repeating. The cycles have not been broken in certain aspects. And want to know what it really feels like to release mental baggage, because I'm still carrying baggage from 20 years ago. And most of us are holding on to what used to be, or what the last relationship did, or who did it 20 years ago. People are still being punished because that happened 20 years ago. How do you let it go? I know it starts with emotional intelligence, understanding your emotions and identifying it in real time, that fight or flight, understanding what got you to it those first couple of minutes when you started feeling anxiety, or you clenching and tightening up, you felt it creeping up, right? So then how do we remove ourselves before it increases or gets any bigger? How do you step back and remove yourself and calm down and do that in real time? It's all practice. It all comes with experience. That's why the whole age ain't nothing but a number. I have to push back on it, because if you don't have the experience, that makes that's a game changer. When you can't speak from real life lived experience, then you can't speak on it. That's my personal opinion. You can read all the books on everything, but if you don't live it, you don't really truly know. So let's get into this work. You know, like, what? Why do we want to stay sick? Well, not to get too religious, I know the scripture says only a third wakes up. So that means a handful of us legit waking up, recognizing, paying attention, and want to do something about it now. Not waiting on somebody else to fix us, not waiting on somebody else to be the hero and rescue us. How do I make these adjustments and changes to my mental now, so when I do get to the ages of 50, 60, 70 years old, I have dealt with these skeletons, these burdens, these triggers and traumas. I've handled them. And not to say that this work ever stops, but just a place of being able to have self-control in adversity and conflict. I want to stay calm. I don't want anybody else having that kind of power over me anymore, right? So doing the work on yourself is going to allow you tools to effectively communicate your needs. You have to do the work. And I keep hearing that, and I get kind of frustrated with it, because I feel like I've spent a lot of years doing work, but this work is never ending. So you still have to show up for yourself and do this work as long as you take this air into your lungs. And being a parent, that's a lifelong commitment. That doesn't stop at 18 or 21 years old. I know a lot of parents feel like it does, but it's a lifelong commitment. I'm 40, almost 40, 38 this past December. I still need parents. I still need a grown-up to tell me, okay, O'Brien, nope. Because of the old O'Brien still fighting new O'Brien, where old O'Brien will flip the table over and say, I don't care. Look at you like you... hell. But new O'Brien's recognizing it's not worth the energy. Matter of fact, just stay silent. Don't even speak on it, because that's wasted energy. And then what I'm really noticing, it's taking even longer for me to calm down and kind of get back to my normal self after getting upset. So I don't even want to get to the place of upset like I used to. Used to be all about the fighting and the chaos and the drama and the whatever. I want to get on these boundaries and connection, consistency and stability and just fun. I want to laugh. I want to have fun. I want to enjoy living. I don't want to survive anymore. Gotta do this work. Gotta know thyself. So what are y'all doing for your self-care? We're about to get into the spring, because these cold months have been, oh, MG. but can be back outside and walking and whatnot. I really want like a dance class, you know, hip hop, rap, where a few of us can collectively do some shit, excuse me, do something once, twice, three times a week. Not every day, but at least a couple of times out the week where there's a group activity and we work out and we can do it at the park or whatever. I have yet to find my tribe yet. We talk a good game, but consistency-wise, all of us is just talk. I want to lose some weight, okay? I don't want my knees to hurt. Stuff popping when I sit down. That's not the look I want. So every day we wake up and we take air into our lungs as a new day to do it again, do better than yesterday. And that's what I really want to stay committed to, because I do have to be an example for this young man that is growing into a beautiful king. I really want to fill his cup with healthy tools and know how to handle himself and not fall into the trap of trying to be cool and going along with stuff just so you can feel like you can belong somewhere. Like, I just don't want him to have the same challenges. I understand he will have his own version of challenges, but that self-esteem and self-awareness and how to conduct yourself and not let others influence you or take you out of your character, I need to give him those tools. Because had I been able to just say no or just remove myself from just a couple of incidences, my journey would have went a different way. But I had to learn those lessons, and here we are. I'm gonna pass down what I know best I can. Hope he listens. So yeah, okay, well, like I said, that's just me and my experience, and this is what my podcast is based off, my experience and what my challenges are. And I do my best to connect with my peers, friends, professionals, have hard conversations about what their challenges are and what that looks like for them, compare notes, what can we do different, how do we do things better. But if we don't take care of ourselves, then we can't take care of everybody else. And that's what we're seeing as a society. We, the matriarchs and the elderly parents and whatnot that had to carry the burden, they're tired, ready to pass the torch, but most of us are not equipped because we have not done this work in healing and letting go of what used to be and focusing on what we need to do to be better, change, and just really identify, are we struggling or are we suffering? One of the biggest lessons over the last few years is that right there. Because everything beautiful goes under a struggle. Diamonds, pearls, there's a pressure, there's a struggle before it becomes what its intended purpose is, right? Suffering is death. Something's dying or already dead. So I'm in this delicate space of Springfield, Missouri. Am I struggling because I'm under pressure to become something greater? Or is something actually starting to die? Because this stagnant, burnt out energy has been a thing for some time. But when I go back and look at my work, I can see where I've been putting in work to make a change and make a difference in myself. So, you know, it's patience, I guess, that I'm still needing work on. But I know I'm not the only one, and I know there's others that feel the same. So, you know, tap in. Talk about it. Let me know how you feel. Where are you at with your journey and who your social supports are, how you're making your money, all the things. How are you pouring into your care? What does your self-care look like? I want to hear about it. So that's today's topic, self-care, putting that work in, filling your cup back up, and being mindful of what you're focusing on and what you're putting your energy into. The mind, body, and spirit, it is a responsibility. It is something that has to be taken care of. And if you don't, we see it in our elder years, like you didn't handle your gifts. You didn't take care of yourself. Let's do that. Let's stop this we don't love each other. We don't love ourselves. Like, where does it start? Where does this work start? I think right here, which is conversations and admitting it. First step to anything is admitting it. So that's where I'm at, guys. This is the Tea and Cognac Session, Season 5, Episode 2. I am your girl, O'Brien, a.k.a. OB, a.k.a. O, the Jill of most trades, owner and operator of OSD LLC, Concierge Services of Springfield, Missouri. TMI is the Melanin Initiative, my nonprofit work for the community. And the Jill of most trades is the pod, is the, I'm sorry, the blogger name. So you know me, you can look me up, you know how to find me if you really want to. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Until next time, guys, talk to you soon. Stay safe, stay prayed up, stay working at being you. Peace.